Coach, last night you had some good things going with your defense for much of the night. They made a lot of stops and the touchdowns on short fields for you in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought our defense played a whale of a game. I mean, you know, obviously Clowney. I mean, what a game he played. You know, again, he's having we're moving him around and he loves it and he's instinctive and it's really something that he's taking advantage of within his own skill set, if that makes sense. You know, he just loves blitzing from the second level, rushing off the edge, doing different things. But then there's other guys, you know, DJ Reader playing real well. Brandon Dunn probably had the best game he's had since we've been here. Bernardrick McKinney he's having a real good year.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of guys. I thought Joel Heath did some good things. You know, so there's a lot of guys that are really contributing, you know, and Clowney's making a lot of plays.
Did you envision, Coach, I know it's 4 years, seems like a long time ago, but when drafted Clowney, did you ever envision kind of using him as the chess piece that he's become? Or did you think he was, well, he's probably just going to have to be this kind of guy off the edge? Did you ever envision using him? Because it felt like last night he made a play from every different spot along the defensive line and even right off the ball at times. Did you ever envision him using him like this?
Yeah, I think we did. I mean, I really do. I'm you know, he was a 4-3 defensive end, but we projected him to be a Sam backer in a true 3-4 scheme. Kind of like Willie McGinnis played for Romeo in New England. And then once we got him here, that vision was even more enhanced by getting him in the room and watching how he really understood football. You know, he's really he really has a high football intellect. And, you know, you guys, I don't know if you always see that because, you know, he's got a great personality and messing around in the locker room. But he's very, very football smart. So now you can build on things. And remember, as you remember, early in his career, he was injured.
Yep.
I kept telling people that, you know, oh, you know, what's the deal with this guy? He's hurt.
Yeah.
He had microfracture surgery. He had concussions. He had ankle issues. He had, you know, he had a lot of different things going on. I think he's done a good job in the offseason. I give him credit. I think he's built his body up to withstand the wear and tear. He's got to continue to do that. That's huge. And, you know, he's playing at a real high level.
It looked like they were doing a lot of things to try to stay away from him, rolling out away from him, just running away from him literally.
Which I think is hard to do. With what Johnny's asking, you know, is when you move him around, you know, it's hard to kind of like just take it from me. I mean, you're trying to, okay, Suggs, I know he's usually on the left, but over, oh, this play's on the right. Like, you know, some of these guys sometimes too, like just kind of going to Suggs here real quick, you know, you'll come out and he'll say, well, I'm going to go rush over here. You go over there. It's not even what the coach called.
Right.
Clowney does that too.
Yeah.
But that's what we allow him to do because we don't want people to get a beat on him.
So Bump Phillips once said, two types of players aren't worth anything. One that never does what he's told, one that only does what he's told. Does that play into that?
That's right. I would have given anything to meet Bump Phillips. I mean, anything. What an awesome guy. Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, you either have a guy that's reading off a cue card, mm-hmm. you know, just I'm going to run this route, I'm going to blitz this gap exactly the way it was drawn on the piece of paper, or, you know, you got the cowboy that just does everything but his own job. You know, you got opposite ends of the spectrum. But then when you have that real instinctive player that kind of understands the personnel that they're in, the formation they're in, has a good idea of what play may be coming and can hit it and make a play, that's the guy that you're looking for.
OB, does a guy like Suggs, watch him last night, 35 now? It feels like he's been playing forever. Do you use him kind of as an example to a guy like JD and say, look at this guy? I mean, this guy's playing up into his 30s, and look how well he's playing. Is he someone that you point to your players and say, hey, you could be like this guy too and do this for the next 10 years, 12 years, whatever it might be?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done that specifically with him, but I've done it with other guys. You know, other guys have taken JD under their wings. Obviously, you know, guys here,
yeah.
JJ and Clowney have become real close. You know, they're good buddies, you know, and I don't think that was always the case early on. You know, they're really tight, and so I think that's number one. You got the best defensive player in the league. That's one of your best friends. That's pretty cool. You know, I think that there's been other guys that have obviously the effect that Mike Vrabel's had on him. You know, I think is Anthony Weaver has had a big effect on the guy. Willie McGinnis, you know, has been in touch with the guy a bunch. So, you know, I think there's definitely other guys. It just hasn't been Suggs specifically, but you're right. I mean, you know, there's another example of a guy that's just – he's probably playing as good as he's played,
yeah,
you know, in his whole career.
So you've taken next man up to some new levels here. Brian Peters playing a little outside linebacker for you last night. Brendan Scarlett had a good first half, a couple of TFLs, and so what went on there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were we were kind of down, and Lamar Houston was inactive. So, you know, Brian fought, man. He made, you know, look, he's a little undersized for being out there, but, man, he's a tough guy, you know. He made some plays, you know. It's not a natural position for him, so we got to figure that out moving forward here. But, you know, it was interesting putting him out there because you knew he was going to fight his butt off, and that's what he did.
Secondary last night didn't give up a throw beyond 20 yards. In fact, the longest throw was the fake punt. How'd you feel like they rebounded after a couple of weeks of giving up some deep shots and a tough game out in L.A.? How'd you feel like they rebounded this week?
I thought they played well. I mean, I thought they were competitive. I thought they triggered in the running game, made some good tackles in the running game. I thought, you know, they made a couple plays on the ball. You know, I think we gotta try to take the ball away. We gotta get back to intercepting the ball. And that's a big thing because, you know, if we can stop turning it over on offense and we can get some takeaways, you know, we're gonna win games. But, you know, that script hasn't been real good for us lately, and you know, we gotta get back doing that. But I thought the secondary played well.
Flipping it to the offense here, Coach, DeAndre Hopkins attracts a lot of attention, obviously, and you got a couple of flags. I mean, you had some positive situations. He had a monster game statistically, and then the penalties, those really helped the cause as well.
The guy is, you know, we targeted him 10 times, and I'll be honest with you, probably should have gone to him 20 times. You know, I think any time the guy's one-on-one, regardless of where the over-the-top safety is, unless he's, like, bracketed at the line of scrimmage, like, the ball should go to this guy, you know. And there are times when he is bracketed at the line of scrimmage. But, you know, good things are going to happen. He makes obviously great contested catches. He gets 2 feet down. He draws penalties. Sometimes he's an OPI guy, but, you know, last night he was able to draw some penalties, and they were legit calls. I mean, he was definitely interfered with, and those are big plays. You know, those are big gains that help us in drives, and they helped us a lot last night. You know, obviously the ball, like I said, probably could have gone to him a lot more.
Obi, with the number of receivers that you've been around in your coaching career, and I wonder how Hop kind of fits into this, but are they – sorry, way of saying this. Sort of like basketball players, like they want to get their touches. Hey, I need to get my touches. I need to get my shots. Do the receivers that you've been around, do you have to say, look, they're playing you a certain way. Let's let that loosen up, and then I'm going to come to you. Or do you try and force the issue? Like, we got to get the ball to this guy. We've got to get it to Hopkins. He's got to see the ball at least once on this drive. Or do you kind of let that play out as the game wears on?
As I've gotten – when I first started, you know, whatever, calling plays, designing plays, I was probably more in the category of – hey, you know, let's figure out what they're doing, and then the ball will come to you. As I get older, I'm like, throw the ball to this guy no matter what. I mean,
yeah,
because I've seen it so much that, like, you know, if a guy's virtually uncoverable, you know, get the ball to him.
Yeah.
And yeah, force the ball to him because the guy's going to make a play.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, you know, we have other guys. You know, Bruce can make plays, and Braxton's playing well. You know, the back side of the backfield, they can make plays, but Hop's the number one playmaker, and you know, we try to get him the ball as much as we can. I mean, I don't know where he is target wise in the league. Is he one, or I mean, he's got to be way up there.
He's got to be close. I mean, he's got to be close.
He's in the top five, right? So
yeah.
So,
but
yeah.
I mean, you don't count. I mean, they're not counted. I think there were six flags in
and those
on
aren't,
him.
What
and
is
those
that?
Aren't considered targets.
Is that right?
I don't think they're considered. No.
Even if the ball was thrown at him?
If it's thrown at him, it's not considered a target. I mean, there were six.
I'm
going to
check him out on that, Vandy.
Yeah. But it sounds right. It sounds like it's not an actual play.
I'm telling you, there were six flags.
Then there were 16 targets, though.
Yeah.
Well, you count that as a snap anyway. A player played X number of snaps, but statistically, I think they probably don't count that. Braxton Miller, though, seems to be benefiting from the playing time he's getting, right?
He's probably one of the most improved players on our team. He's worked very hard to become a good route runner. We've been hard on him, especially me. You know, he's been inactive a couple times. He's had to battle back. You know, this guy was a superstar in college. It's not easy when you come to this pond and you're not a superstar anymore. So I'm really proud of the guy. I think he's made some big plays for us, and I just want to see him continue to improve because I think his skill set can really help us.
How about Bruce, Coach? I think about Bruce's journey, if you will, to get here. I mean, the fact that, you know, he's claimed by the Jets and then let go, and then he ends up here. And within a couple of days at training camp, I remember you saying, hey, Bruce, we got to have you, buddy. You got to be a factor for us.
Yeah.
I mean, he's become, from that day forward, he's really been a big factor in your offense.
In the short time that I've coached him, I can tell you, Johnny, he's one of my favorite players I've ever coached. He's just a very instinctive guy, very tough guy, loves practice, loves playing. He's got a great personality. Just enjoy coaching him, and hopefully he can be here for a while because I think he can really help us. He's made some big plays for us. Obviously I wish we were playing better offensively. I wish we were winning, but we're not. But it's not because of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's made some big plays for us.
Okay, I want to go back, if you don't mind, because I thought about this just as I asked you about Bruce. Last week against the Cardinals, they punted the ball down, and they tried to down it near the one-yard line. And they touched it, and Bruce picked it up and ran with it. And I think everybody in the building was panicking,
yeah,
except for Bruce, because
yeah, it's a free play.
He knew the rule at that point.
Right, and, yeah, he knew the rule, and he knew that once they touched it and it was bouncing around, it's a free play. So no matter what, you're not going to get – you could take that back for a touchdown. And,
right.
It's a touchdown. I mean,
right,
that's a great, great heads-up play by him. It was a great, great play. It's that first touch rule, you know, and that's something, you know, I think he probably knew it coming in here, probably playing for Chip and stuff, but that was something we emphasized with him, and he did a good job. He had a big return last night,
yeah,
that I thought was going to spring us to another, you know, get a touchdown, but didn't, but yeah, he's doing a good job for us.
You talked about the red area today in your press conference, and take the fans through this a little bit. What happens down there? Why is it so difficult? And how important is it to run the ball in the red zone? Because you ran it for a touchdown with Lamar Miller on that opening drive, and you were able to get some plays that way.
Yeah, the red area is tough. I mean, you know, we were 1-for-4, so with that and the turnovers, you got no shot of winning. You really don't. And we had been doing well in the red area. The red area, obviously, everything tightens down. You know, there's less space to defend, so the windows open, but they close a lot faster than they do out in the field, especially with the athleticism of the players. There's teams that may not blitz you out in the field, but all of a sudden they become max blitz teams down in the red area. There's teams that may blitz you out in the field that become max coverage teams in the red area. You know, teams change their philosophy. That's Baltimore. Mm-hmm. They play a couple coverages down there that they don't ever play in the field, and you got to – pretty unique coverages, and you have to try to attack them because in unique ways because they're hard. And you know, we just weren't successful doing what we wanted to do, and that's an area where we really got to get better.
Coach, what would you ultimately say if people ask you what's the key to being successful in the red zone? What's the ultimate thing that you've got to be able to do in the red zone to be successful?
Yeah, I think you have to be able to. Let me see if I can say this the right way without giving away. I think you have to be able to give the quarterback choices at the line of scrimmage, choices whether to run it or pass it, or pass it versus this look, or pass it versus this look. I think you have to have a quarterback that really processes quickly and can't hold the ball, can't stare things down. A mobile quarterback helps you down there, you know, because he can make plays on his feet. Deshaun was really good at that, you know, in the red area. That was a hard thing to defend. So I think that's some things down there that you know, that'd help you.
All right, so Tennessee, how much does last game's tape help you for this one? I mean, obviously it's the same team, but that was a very different kind of performance, and you put up a lot of points in that
one.
We're
not the same team.
Yeah.
a
lot of the names have changed.
Yeah. I think you got to look at it. I mean, you know, obviously you got to look at it, but I think you got to look at the more recent games for them, what we're doing. They lost to Pittsburgh, but then they came back and rebounded against the Colts, played good against the Colts. You know, that was a tight ball game with the Colts. I mean, Colts were in the lead for a long time there and, kind of gave it away at the end. So
low scoring.
Yeah. So I think we're going to look at that game that happened a while back. But, again, I think it's the most recent games that are the most important.
Stopping the run for them. I mean, I guess most teams, but especially for them, has got to be paramount when you look at Murray and Henry and what they bring.
No question. And then Mariota, you know, they got the quarterback run game too. So, and they're unique in how they run the ball. You know, they have a different scheme every week for you, a different flash scheme, power scheme, gap scheme, whatever it is. So you have to be ready for the unexpected too. And that's big, but stopping the runs, that's number one goal this week.
All right. A couple more for you here. Amogee Bank of Texas, Ask Bill O'Brien question of the week. This is about defensive play calls. Cause we talk about you speaking to the quarterback through his helmet and everything. Take us through what goes on defensively with Mike Vrabel and how that works on that side of the football.
Yeah, Mike's talking to BMAC, and he gives him the call, you know, whatever the call is, and then he gives him some reminders relative to the situation, or, you know, maybe he tells, hey, BMAC, well, I'm sending this guy in for that guy, send him off, you know, because they're going tempo and we're subbing. So there's a lot of different information that you can give into the helmet. You know, I think it's big. I think it's a huge thing. you know, relative to offensively, we do the same thing, give them the play call, but then remind them, hey, look. And last night, there were a couple, there was a delay game. You know, sometimes you get to these big TV games, road games, and it's nobody's fault, but the thing doesn't work.
Right.
And so then you have to figure out, all right, do you go to the board, go to the wristband? And we didn't do that. He couldn't hear me on the one. So by the time we broke the huddle, I probably should have taken a timeout. But so sometimes, yeah, sometimes it kind of messes up.
There was a situation last night where there was a review and your offense was on the field, but if you didn't win it or if it went against you, the defense would have to jump out there. So yeah. Is everybody getting their plays ready? Hey,
yes.
You know, we got to get ready to go here just in case.
Yeah, I told them that was on the CJ fumble, or what they thought was a CJ fumble.
Right, that's the one.
I said, our guys upstairs felt like it wasn't a fumble. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Tom, get in the huddle. This is going to be the play because the clock's going to start.
Right.
When, you know, so because it was a completed pass, I think. So.
But the defense has to be ready with their call too, right?
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, and so you know, if it goes to the Ravens, then hey, Mike, this might be Ravens' ball. Make sure. So he's got hey, if it's base, it's this. If it's nickel, it's this. Yeah, there's no doubt you got to be ready with the call.
Coach, right. One of the things we haven't talked about thus far, I know you were asked about Brian Cushing coming back today, eligible to be back in the building. How good is it to see him? I know you've talked very highly of him the 4 years that he's been here. How good is it to have him back?
Yeah,
in the building?
It's great to have him back. I mean, it's he's. He's been a key member of this this team, this organization for a long time. He's played meaningful football for us. I mean, tough, tough guy. Been a captain. It's good to have him back. We'll sit down. We'll talk to him, kind of see where he's at. I haven't really had a chance to talk to him yet. You know, there's a number of different ways we can go with Brian. And it'll be good to just sit down and kind of get back one-on-one. You're not really allowed to talk to him while he's suspended. So it'll be good to catch up with him.
One more from me. Coaching moves in college football, because I'm sure you've seen what's been going on, and it's really wild out there. I mean, every year it just seems to get more intense. And
I mean, Vandy, I don't know. I guess, like, as I get older, I'm not saying I'm an old man, but I'm just like, you know, you've been in it 25 years, and I mean, what's the rush? You know, you got a guy there at Texas A&M. He's 56-21. You know, I know he had whatever his record was in the SEC, but I mean, like, yeah. So then you get these guys, and you know, everybody's in a rush to get the big hire, make the big splash, and you know, are you giving people enough time? And then maybe you have given them enough time, and you've decided to move on, and then okay, now you're going to hire this guy. Oh, wait a minute, we're not going to hire this guy. Like, I mean.
Right.
Like, who's running these things? You know what I mean? I'm always like that. I probably get in trouble for saying that, but, like, why don't you bring a guy in, sit down, look, what kind of football team do you want to have here? Okay,
right.
Then there's a give and take. Like, I'll never forget, when I went to Penn State, I thought that was a really interesting interview because I asked more questions than they asked of me.
Mm-hmm.
For obvious reasons, but
right.
Then there were other reasons I asked a lot of questions. Like, what are you guys looking for here? Because here's what I'm looking for. But it may not be a fit.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, coaching is about a fit. Do you fit with whether it's pro football, the organization, the owner, the general manager? Do you fit with, in college, do you fit with the AD? Do you fit with the school, with what they're looking for, what type of team they want to field? Do they want to graduate players? Do they want, you know, mm-hmm. How much time are you going to give the guy to get it done? Because you got to establish a culture. That's hard to do. You don't do that overnight. So I think there's a lot more that goes into it than what people think, and it's a crazy time.
And too often these things are probably done with text messages and agents and
yeah.
things, and you don't get
there's
those
too many,
conversations.
Too many media people involved. There's a lot of media people involved, social media people involved, fans. Fans are dictating now who should coach where, and I don't know. What do I know? I don't know much.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.